Welcome to the inquiry session. Again, I'd like to highlight the importance of listening, that all of you are participating in the inquiry process itself. The invitation is for one of you to come with a question, perhaps about practice or about the Dharma, or perhaps an exploration of an issue in your life. Come. At any time, you may say thank you and leave. It can get a little hot up here. Or I may say thank you and you also leave. And the intention, of course, is freeing up the stuck places in our lives and hearts and minds. And together we can inquire, together we can see. This is the process. And so I'd invite you to really listen. Perhaps somebody has a question that has never occurred to you, that you have not thought about yourself. And this can really stretch our minds, if you like. We can start to perhaps see in a different way by listening to others. This is the beauty of the community and how we as a Sangha can start to look and see and inquire together. And this is an age-old tradition, of course, going back to the time of the Buddha, where those who sat around were known as the ones who had empathy, the ones who listened. So this is the practice. And the saying was that we squeeze the honey out of our experience. So we really see that which is utterly sweet from our experience. In between each inquiry, we'll have some quiet time. So yes, anybody? Yes, come.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Michal.
Welcome.
Okay. You want to hear me? Okay. I'm caught in a mental loop of validation.
Yes.
I had a very good experience today in one of the sitting meditations.
A very good or a very bad?
A very good.
A very good?
Yes.
Okay.
And I wanted to share it and talk about it.
Please, go ahead.
Okay. Because I got all caught up in my head that maybe I shouldn't do it here and maybe I should wait till the weekend and talk to friends, but you're saying I can just say it.
Please, go ahead.
I have, ever since I came here, I have a lot of memories from my military service.
Yes.
When you talked yesterday about the deathless things, it really hit a nerve.
I'm
not sure why, but I felt really bad about it, and because I felt that my timeless moments are not happy moments. And today, in one of the sitting meditations, I thought about the army again and all the memories.
Yes.
And then I started to think that it was there. It was in the past, and it's not here anymore.
Yes.
And I'm here, and I'm okay, and I'm fine. And then I realized that nothing that happened to me in the army didn't stay. All my beliefs and my
values.
That.
So your beliefs and values?
They all, the army didn't change them at all. The army didn't change me.
Okay.
Basically, I felt that the whole time I was there, I wasn't really there. I mean, I was totally detached, and it's a good and a bad thing, yeah, but I felt that it doesn't touch me anymore. And ever since then, when I do the sitting meditations, I don't think about the army. It doesn't come up.
Okay. So just to make sure I've understood you correctly, the memories from the past, yesterday came, about your time in the army and doing your military training service, and you had quite mixed feelings about it.
Not mixed, they were very bad.
Difficult.
Yeah.
Okay. Very bad as in how bad? What sort of things? Painful things? Anything specific that came to the surface?
I don't really want to talk about it.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Because sometimes we see and do things that we perhaps otherwise wouldn't and wish that had never occurred. And so it's a very difficult thing to come to terms with. And every one of you here will know that to a certain extent. And over the years that I've been coming to Israel, there's been many people who've spoken about military service, and often with great intensity of emotion, great pain, difficult memories and trauma. And coming to terms with this is, takes courage. So yesterday you were in the pain of it. Mm-hmm. Say just a little more about the pain, because I can see it here right now. Microphone.
Yeah, I'm just thinking what to say.
Yes.
I was in a very bad place where I was
doing your service.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
so there was lots of violence.
No.
No.
I mean, yeah, but not like towards. I don't know. It wasn't like shetach combat. Yeah.
Combat. Okay.
It wasn't combat. It was. I don't know. I think people in the military just become insane and awful, and they stop seeing people as people.
Yes. Yeah. So there's the dehumanizing process of the other that occurs,
yeah,
and seeing the other as different from me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is fundamental, really, in terms of combat and war.
Mm-hmm. And I felt I was stuck there. I was dehumanized.
Yes. Yes. And then today, reflecting on that situation, what happened?
I felt that everything that happened there didn't happen to me. I mean, it happened, but. Me I am now didn't go through those things.
Okay. Events come about because of causes and conditions. And the events that have been and are occurring here in Israel have a myriad number of causes and conditions that contributed to the incredibly difficult and entrenched situation. So there were countless causes and conditions that brought about the events that you were involved in. At the time, I'm sensing that there was some kind of disconnection within you because you're saying you were dehumanized. The qualities of the heart that you would ordinarily have were not visible or not apparent in that situation. So the issue is, how do we come to terms with that? And so are you saying that you saw that something had shifted within you again and your heart was full and as it was before? Or are you saying you saw the emptiness of the role of being a soldier?
The second one.
The second one. Okay. So.
And the first, actually.
Sorry?
And the first one as well.
Okay. So both.
Yeah.
Okay. Say a little more.
I do feel a lot more connected to myself than
yes.
I was.
Yes.
Back in the army.
Yes. How long ago was this, by the way?
15 years ago.
Okay, a long time ago.
Yes.
And during the 15 years, was there connection or disconnection with your heart?
It was disconnected. I found it again just a few years ago.
Yes. Yes, so for some time, the dehumanizing process that occurred affected your expression of love and compassion and care.
Yes.
Both for yourself and others.
Yeah.
This is a tragedy. Totally. And it's not just happening here. It's happening all around the world. That there's this disconnection with what we know to be the best qualities of our human heart. And we are capable of extraordinary love and compassion. Yet often, this is not what we express to ourselves and to others. Okay, so say a little more about how, in just today, this shift has been known and felt. Because that's what I'm really interested in. How can we shift from the disconnection and the trauma to being a totally responsive, alive, generous-hearted, warm human being? What happened as you sat today?
Well, it started at the group with the Muli.
Yes.
He talked about, I don't remember what he said, about 1,000 years of darkness, that the moment you turn a candle on,
yes,
there is the light.
Yes.
And I thought about that, and
you thought it was time to light the candle.
Yeah.
And then?
Sorry, I forgot.
Yeah, and then what I'm asking you, what happened today in the sitting or in the groups or in the walking meditation that brought about this shift or this reconnection?
Well, the memories started to come.
Yes.
And, instead of feeling bad and upset and starting to...
Instead of feeling guilt.
Go over them again in my mind. Yeah.
Yes.
I try to be compassionate about them.
Yes.
And tell myself that it's okay and I'm fine and it wasn't me and it's not me anymore.
Be careful with the statement, it wasn't me. Because, yes, we can see the emptiness of self, but that doesn't actually free us totally from responsibility, does it? It's when we see the emptiness of self, it doesn't give us freedom to act in any way whatsoever. It doesn't say, therefore, we can do whatever we like. So just a little care with the language. You look back and you saw that what had happened was not a personal event.
Okay.
It was a myriad of causes and conditions that came together,
yeah,
in time and space, and the events unfolded. And at the time, you didn't, I take it from what you said, that you didn't really enjoy the experience of what had happened, or you felt disconnected in order to function
mm-hmm.
in that environment.
Yeah.
Okay. So we say, okay, they were the circumstances then, and now I need to reconnect with my heart. I need to reconnect with what I know to be my principal values. So today, as you sat, what happened? You thought you'd light the candle and lift the darkness. You were compassionate to yourself. And then what?
And then I felt good.
Yes. And then there was a transformation and a letting go and a realization that your heart is intact. Yes?
To describe it in my own words, but
yes, I know.
Lacking.
It's a difficult thing to do, so I'll be quiet.
I just felt that no matter what happened, then I am. I'm still able to live a normal life. And
beautiful. Well done. Yes, anybody? Yes, at the back. Hi. Yes.
And it's in relation about, you can call it letting go.
Yes.
And I'm confused because I'm used to, I have this feeling all the time that if I will let go, everything will be a mess.
Yes.
And I have this experience. Like when I'm letting go, everything is going like really bad. So I'm used to work. But in a way, also when I'm working or practicing hard, something in me becoming very rigid, and I'm feeling that I'm missing some things, and I'm becoming really rigid and depressed and angry.
In the practice?
Most of the time, yes.
Okay, all right. So can you actually name what it is you are clinging to? Can you see? Are you aware of what it is that you've been holding on to?
I think it's some things, but mainly it's I'm actually feeling that I'm clinging to sadness in a way.
Ah, yes. So the eye knows sadness, it's familiar with sadness, and so rather than take the risk to see the new, we get stuck in the old because we know it.
Yes, like rationally I understand it.
Okay.
But
so
when I try to, even in the meta practice,
yes,
it's so soft.
Yes.
So I'm getting like
rigid.
I want to hit something because it annoys me, and I'm feeling like it's and I have like,
yes,
this mental role of it's like it's bullshit and things like this.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm attached to my anger also.
I can hear. Would you like to let go of your anger? Even a little bit of it?
I don't know, like, yes, in a way, because I,
ah,
in the past I didn't think I want to, but
yes,
in some time I felt that it's like it's endless, and it's,
yes,
like, I don't know, it's like this feeling that it's not right, but in a way I feel it, it protects me.
Yes.
But I know that it's not true, but that is my feeling.
Mm.
It's
okay, so
it's hard to let go of it.
Underneath the anger is something that you are protecting. Any idea what that might be? So underneath the anger there's a vulnerability, isn't there?
Yes, it's also like a lot of sadness,
yes,
and confusion.
Yes, yes.
Like rationally I know.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay, so if you put your attention in your chest area,
mm-hmm,
can you feel the sadness? What do you feel? If you put your attention there, what sensations do you feel?
Like I feel some little like subtle tingling.
Yes, tingling.
And but also like this, it's like closed.
Yes, contraction.
Yes.
Okay. So just putting your attention in the area of the contraction, very gently, very softly, right now. So feeling the contraction, but as if you would cradle it or hold it in two hands. Open hands like this, just very gently, as if you would hold something precious. So really being with this sadness, this sensation of contractedness. And now, is there any belief that's associated with it?
With the sadness?
Yeah, with the actual sensation. So you put your attention on the contraction, softly, softly, and then you say, is there a belief that's associated with this sensation?
I have a belief, but I don't feel it's connected, because normally when I'm trying to,
yeah,
connect with it, I'm starting to feel anger.
Okay, what's the belief?
In relation to the sadness?
Yeah.
It's like pointless.
It's pointless to feel sad?
It's it's like, no, the anger is like it's pointless and it takes me away from it.
Yes, okay. So come back again to the actual contraction, the actual sensation in the body. And what's the belief that's associated with the contraction of the heart? What would happen if you really showed your heart?
I think I would get hurt.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So the fear is of being hurt. Have you been hurt in the past? Yes. Yes. And so the anger is the wall that barricades the heart. So, are you going to live with a wall around your heart, or are you going to do something else, is the question.
You can try.
Yes. Oh, I could see that as letting go, couldn't I? I can let go of clinging to my anger, and I can try to allow the vulnerability of the heart.
Yes, I will try. I want to.
Yes.
Please.
Okay. So, start right now, if you would. Hold my hand. And just look out here.
Okay.
And really...
Oh, this is so difficult.
I know.
Okay.
Okay, I'm here. You've got company. Okay, and just look at people. Yeah, it's a great view from here. So now look and see if you can just show your heart as you look. Mm-hmm. Yes, and really receive. Look, what do you see? What do you see?
It's like kindness.
Yes. Kindness. A bit more than kindness, I think it's love. Don't you think?
Let's start with kindness.
I'm not really a good step-by-step teacher. I go I go for broke. Okay. Let's start with kindness. Let's start with showing your heart. And let's start with allowing yourself to receive the love that's on offer. All right?
Yes.
A deal?
I will try.
Okay. Because then the anger will dissipate, won't it? You don't want to live your life feeling anger.
No.
There's much more available.
Like one of my grandfather.
Yes.
Is a very, very angry person.
Yes.
And he will die probably like this.
Yes.
And he's like 90.
Yes.
And I don't want to also.
Okay. You don't want to be a grumpy old man.
Exactly.
Or even a grumpy young man.
Exactly.
Okay, so you know the path now. It's to take down the barricade around your heart. Allow the vulnerability and sadness to be there. And have the courage to engage. Have the courage to be kind. And that leads to love. And we human beings love to be loved, need to be loved. And need also to express love. What's happening now?
I'm so shy.
Okay. All right. One more look around and then it's time to go. Okay. It gets easier. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, anybody?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Okay. Talked a lot in the Dharma about the right view,
yes,
of things, and to see that there are things that we tell ourselves that not really everything is like that.
Yes.
And I believe it. I know it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I know it.
Yes. I really.
You do.
I really believe it.
Okay.
It took time, but now I believe it.
All right.
But what I want to ask is about the time when I just tell what happened. I know myself as a person, as a really trust person and a free mind. It affects my life. I could go everywhere. I had a really good confident in myself.
Yes.
As a child.
Yes.
And then 10 years ago, I had a very bad experience, sexual attack.
Oh.
And I really felt that it take it from me.
Yes.
Like something broke there, and for me it was like, I know myself as a person, and
yes,
then I changed.
Yes, of course.
And from then, 10 years, I'm working with that, and I try to learn about it and understand myself, and actually to build my trust in the world again.
Mm.
And I can see an improvement. And then what I'm asking is, now I'm like, how do I make the connection between the knowing that, okay, there was one stupid man, they're not only one, but not everybody is like that.
Of course.
And how I'm not, how I can live my life when I don't see, first of all, the ones that want to attack, like in each of every person. And it's already, it's like an automatically reflex. Yes.
Yes.
Like it's something that I don't even think about it. My body is like changed.
Yes.
And I turn to you because I know the Dharma can help me there. I already use it from time to time, but after the retreat, I'm going to take a trip with my friend, a girlfriend.
Yes.
And we're going to sleep outside.
Yes.
For me, it's like changing.
Yes.
Take something that when I was 10 years ago, it was, I did everything. I can sleep alone.
Yes.
But now, like, it's the second time I do it.
Okay.
And I want to do it.
Yes.
How I do it.
Okay. So, great courage to actually face the fear.
Mm-hmm.
of putting yourself in a situation where there is the possibility, of course, at any time, any place, we can be met with something terrible. In your case, you, because you've had that experience, it's really easy to live projecting that fear onto everybody at all times or very often. And so then our whole life becomes bound to the trauma in the past. You've worked very hard,
yes,
it seems, to free yourself from that and to free yourself from the view that all men are about to attack me, because they're not. And you know that that's not true. Yet, as you said, there's the response of the body. And the way through is really a lot of equanimity or steadiness at the very moment that that bodily response appears. So, of course, we need to act intelligently and not put ourselves over and over and over again in terrifying situations, because it will be too much for us. But it seems that after 10 years has gone by, you're actually ready to say, okay, there are some things I want to do. I don't want to be bound by this experience from the past. And I want to be able to function as I could before without excessive fear. Some fear is, of course, quite natural. Sometimes we can find ourselves being really, really fearless. But our fear is constructed with the thoughts, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We have this bodily reaction, and then on top of it, there are the thoughts. So what sort of thoughts construct your fear?
Construct my
fear? Yeah, they put together your fear. So the thought, I can't defend myself. What other thoughts construct the fear?
That I don't know what to expect. That I don't have control.
Yes.
And that I will get hurt?
Yes. Are these thoughts true or not?
If something bad will happen, they would be true.
They would be. Are they true every single day of your life? Does something bad happen every single day of your life?
They are true, yes, they are true, not every moment of my life.
Exactly.
Yes.
So the thoughts construct the fear.
They are based on something,
it's true. I understand that. They're based on something, but on most days it's unlikely that you're going to be attacked by somebody, isn't it?
Not like this, yes. In small ways.
In small ways, but attacked in the way that we're
yes.
talking about, it's unlikely that this is going to happen today.
Yes.
So this is a thought. You can challenge your thinking
yes.
by saying, it is possible, of course, that I could be badly hurt or attacked today, but it's very unlikely. So that's one way. The other way I mentioned before, real steadiness with the feeling in the body, that sort of feeling. And there is another method.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the method that's really going to be important for you. I want you to notice each day all the moments when that fear is not there. Okay? When that fear is absent. Because it isn't there every day.
Definitely.
Okay. So I want you to notice this evening, tomorrow, all through the day, how many moments of the day there are without any fear whatsoever.
I think this, because I did this,
yes,
I can think of getting to that trip.
Yes.
I know it. I know that most, this is why I said in the beginning,
yes,
I know that it's the truth.
Yes.
That most of them won't attack.
Yes.
That's why I'm asking about the moment when I met the fear.
Yes.
Because it will come.
Yes.
The night will come and then there will be fear.
So, steadiness in the face of the fear. You feel the sensations,
mm-hmm,
and allow the sensations to subside.
Go back to my body.
You go back to the body, you feel the sensations, you're with them. They're unpleasant, and then we all know that every sensation subsides, it ends.
Mm-hmm.
When the Buddha was asked how he dealt with fear when he was walking in the forests of India, he said, when I stood and the fear came upon me, I neither sat nor lay down nor walked until the fear was subdued. Until the fear passed. And so, this is what you need to do. You're about to go to bed, you're out camping, the fear and dread comes upon you, and you bring awareness to it, and you feel the sensations, and you're just gently with them until they subside. It's the adding to all of that with the thought world that's going to put you in terror. So it's to be with the body and feel the sensations subside. It's the method for dealing with all trauma, actually. And it's the shortcut. It really is. It's extraordinary when you learn to do it. So there's that method, and then there's the other method that I just spoke about of turning the mind to the freedom, noticing when the fear is absent. And then you'll discover that the fear is absent for 99% of your life, not the other way around. So more and more and more times, just coming to the absence of the fear.
Mm-hmm.
So we notice the presence of the fear sometimes and the absence of the fear the other times. This is our awareness practice. When the fear is present, we stick with the body until the sensations subside. It's the age-old method that is completely and utterly brilliant.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for having the courage to share such a difficult experience. Wonderful. Let's just sit together. We saw with the first inquiry that release from the events of the past and all the difficult and complex feelings that can be associated with it come when we are with the qualities of the heart. And in this way, our life is transformed, really. And we saw the same, really, in the second inquiry. That sometimes we barricade the heart. Sometimes, of course, what we do is we disconnect from ourselves. At other times, we wall up the heart with anger or with a cover of some sort. And our practice is to come to what's actually there. And so we allow ourselves to be vulnerable. We allow ourselves to be with what is actually with us. And in this way, we discover that there is some release to be found. And when we've had a very traumatic event in the past, the memories will come. The memories will, if we're not aware, shape our life and colour consciousness and limit our life. And so our practice is really one of staying rather steady in the face of the unpleasant sensations that can occur when we remember a fearful event. And so we stay with the body, bear attention to sensations until they pass. We know that the sensations are impermanent. And so they cease, they end. And in this process, it's a remarkable process, in this process, there's a healing that takes place. And it's beautiful to see. And the qualities that help the healing along are those we saw, of great courage and awareness and the capacity to face what's difficult in life, to face our fear, to turn towards it, not run from it, or barricade the heart, or disassociate from it. So one method of dealing with fear is deconstructing the thoughts, or seeing the thoughts rather clearly, that contribute to the fear. And then we stay just with the sensation in the body, not the whole story that goes with it. This is the shortcut. And the other method of seeing the cessation of fear or the ending of fear is noticing our freedom. So when we face the freedom, the fear ceases. When we face the fear, when we face the fear, our freedom within that becomes evident. This is the way. This is the Dharma path. So my great thanks to the three who had the courage to inquire and to come and speak about difficult things. And also to each of you for paying attention, for listening with empathy, with care and concern. Thank you.